All right, welcome into in lieu of SJHL Weekly. We are going to be doing a quick little roundtable here with myself, Clark Monroe, of course, from IKS Media here, Jamie Neugebauer, and Rory McGorin, who those two guys are, I think they're just waking up still from a double overtime, another double overtime affair between the Humboldt Broncos and Melfort Mustangs, the Melfort Millionaires. Nope, wrong team. Everybody's a little tired these days. But you know, an unbelievable game six, you guys. And Rory, maybe I'll start with you. I was talking to Clay Sliva earlier today for another feature on the SJHL media platform. So stay tuned for that, everybody. But I said you got a single overtime, a double overtime, and a triple overtime. You guys are a quadruple overtime away from the cycle here in this series. Can you just kind of explain the longevity these games are going to?
Yeah, it's funny you say that. We were talking about the cycle potential in the dressing room after game six there. But you know, first and foremost, the fans have been treated to one of the best series that I have ever seen. You know, not often you look at a series where it could be a 4-0 sweep from Melfort, a 4-0 sweep for Humboldt, 5-win from it's just everything is so close. As Mike Reagan said on your interview, razor thin. Right. And it's been physical. It's been fast. You've had triple overtimes. You've had tying goals with 47 seconds left. The stories are writing themselves, and the fans are first getting this treat of just a spectacular series, but they're getting the treat in all pay of respect to the players because, you know, both of them have had times where they could have checked out. They haven't. You know, I'm sure the injuries are littered throughout both dressing rooms. The amount of periods they've played, which is now going on 24 periods in this series alone, it'll be 25 to 27 in game seven. That's nine hockey games, guys. It's an absolute war of attrition and guts and grit and want. And it's absolutely a pleasure to call and watch between these two teams going at it. I can't wait for game seven.
Yeah, so Nugzi, you were also in the building for game six. You were also in the building with me for the triple overtime game last week. Are you okay physically, mentally, and emotionally after these marathons?
Yeah, I mean, hey, it's exhausting stuff to watch. I can't imagine how exhausting it is to play, and especially if your name is, Leif Olafsson, Aiden Hutchinson, Ryan Duguay, Clay Sliva, you look down the minutes just from that last game. Leif Olafsson almost 47 minutes, and that's been pretty regular for him for one player. And obviously the injury situation to Chase Freetmore didn't help out in that last game. But you talk about a top line in Hutchinson, Duguay, Sliva, they really carry the water. I don't know if I've seen a forward core even play as much as those guys do. So they play a ton. Let's look at the minutes here. Hutchinson 37, 47, Duguay 36, 18, Sliva 34, 38. Though Sliva never seems to get tired. I guess it's that farm boy strong situation. But other than that, they're human beings. So, will that ever wear down on them? We'll find out, I suppose. But yeah, it's been fun. It's been what we wanted to see. We wanted to see a playoff series that was gritty, grimy, and tough and late, and you don't know what's going to happen game to game. And the Broncos, the funny thing is the games that they've lost, Rory, I'm sure you would agree with this. The games that they've lost, they've had leads in second periods and blew them. And the games that the Mustangs have lost, they've had leads in second periods. And in third periods, even, and lost them. So it's really weird. Maybe the other team should just let the other team score the first couple of goals and then go at it, because that's kind of the way it's gone. I'm obviously joking, but it's been wild. I can't remember too many more wild series in my time for sure.
Yeah, so Rory, I'll go back to you here. We've talked about now how close these games are, but one of the things that Jamie mentioned is, the injury status of certain players across both teams. And I don't know if you have a whole lot of insight, and I don't want you to give away too much information from what you do know with Humboldt necessarily, but just in general, between these two teams, we've seen AP players, we've seen young guys stepping up, depth guys stepping up throughout the series. Who will last? Like who's out there? Who's left? Who's going to be winning this war of attrition? You mentioned the war of attrition. I mean, that's kind of where we're at now in the series, right?
Yeah, 100%. I don't know. I mean, if you had a guess between any of the six games prior, I don't, you could have clued us in. But, as the Broncos side, yeah, I mean, I'm sure the Mustangs as well. it's been 13 games in very quick succession against a tough-nosed Wavering Red Wings team and now another tough-nosed Melford Mustangs team. So yeah, there's bumps, there's bruises. Everyone's not at 100%. It's in both dressing rooms. On the Broncos side, you know, it's a stubborn group, is what Carter Hansen, the assistant coach, called them. He's like, those guys, they're young. They've had every excuse to, you know, check out down 3-1 in game six, right? Going into game seven against Weyburn, trailing 3-1 against Melford, trailing that game going into the third period. They're just a stubborn group that finds a way to never give up. And regardless of injury, you look at Dalen Weigel, who got a helmet, you know, definitely wasn't intentional, but just the way the collision came together. Helmet caught him on the cheek, and he needed seven or eight stitches to stitch up this cut on his cheek, came back wearing a bubble and finished off the second half of the game. So that's playoff hockey. And they're a stubborn group, and you know, they're just so fun to watch. And with these third period comebacks, with you know, Cage Nguyen's the longest tenured Bronco, tying it up with 47 seconds left. It's been really, really cool. Really, 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 really cool. But yeah, stubbornness is kind of the word that comes to mind with the Humble Broncos this year. Going up against 5 20-year-olds, you know, they're countering it with 3 18-year-olds and 2 19-year-olds, basically. And you know, they're not backing down. So game seven is going to try to be that. Who is the more stubborn group? You got to fight through the pain. Freetmore won't be 100%. Certainly their forwards are tired. They have to be, right? They've played so much hockey. So who's going to push through that wall one more time? One more time, a little further. 60 minutes. Who's going to push through harder?
Yeah, Nugzi, I guess I'll go to you. Home ice advantage hasn't necessarily been the key to this series, as we saw with Weyburn and Humboldt in the last series, for example. It was so important. This series, it's kind of been a little bit of everything. So going back now to Melford for game seven, do you think that play gives Melford any type of advantage at this point, or is it kind of just up in the air?
I mean, there's always the matchup game. You know, Trevor Blevins is a matchup wizard. Like, he is so good at getting the right guy at the right moment out there. He managed that decor. He and Ty Sugar managed that decor for Melfort masterfully in game five. With Chase Freemore out, they still gave Humboldt fits trying to generate offense. And, you know, kudos to the Broncos to find a way. And there was some interesting line juggling by Scott Barney to make that happen. He did split up Bryson and Bell and Nguyens, and that's sort of when things started to turn around, I think, a little bit, and maybe make the matchup game just a little bit more of a challenge for that Melfort coaching staff. But that being said, it speaks to the depth of the Melfort decor. We saw Nolan Henderson play a great game. We saw Cole Unger, you know, play a great game. We saw Bo Eisner really step up. So, you know, there was some real depth shown and some character shown by the Melfort Mustangs at a very hostile barn. It was loud. It was aggressive at the EPA. The crowd was going nuts, yelling, you know, refs, you suck, and all that stuff. Not saying we agree with that. I'm just saying that's what was being said by both fans at different points in the game. That's the way it goes. But yeah, you know what? Home ice advantage. It hasn't helped the matchup game. You'd think it would help, but really, you know, Leif Olofsson's going to play as much as he humanly can for the Melfort Mustangs, as he has every night in this season, really, for the Melfort Mustangs. And that's sort of what Trevor Blevins wants to see, is him, you know, out there as much as possible against the Spencer Bell. Other than that, you know, you flip a coin and we'll see what happens, because anybody who can predict what's going to happen tomorrow, I think, is a liar, because it's been wild and unpredictable, and that's what makes it fun.
Yeah, I mean that's the best part of this time of year. Rory, I'll go back to you on this one. You know, Nugzi mentioned Spencer Bell. Obviously, a clutch, massive hat trick in game five to push that game not just to a tie, but then the insurance marker at the end of the game with the empty netter. The overtime winner last night. So Spencer Bell is the Saskatchewan Player of the Year for a reason, and he's shown up in a huge way in the last couple of games. Is he a massive X factor going into this last game for Humboldt? And is there anybody else who you think has any type of X factor, you know, status going into this game?
Yeah, 100%. You know, X factors kind of are guys that might catch you by surprise when you circle everything else. But Spencer Bell's always been circled, right? Like he is a horse, with no pun intended, that has just been the best player in almost every game. Going into the first round of the playoffs, he wasn't. He was frustrated with himself, right? He wasn't capitalizing on opportunities. Not to say he was playing bad, because he wasn't at all. He is a complete 200-foot player. He was great in his own zone. He was great at generating opportunities, wasn't just a little snake bitten, right? And Scott Barney always says, we don't care if you're not capitalizing on your opportunities. As long as you're getting the opportunities, we know you're playing the right way, and those opportunities will come in. And now Spencer Bell in the two biggest games of the season, they come in. A hat trick in game five, the overtime winner in game six. He's absolutely rolling right now. And other X factors? Yeah, I mean, again, it's circled on every game. The top line for Melfort has scored all of their even strength goals in Melfort. Skogstad, Stromi, and Mamich with Weigel and Tui shut them down in Humboldt because the Broncos had the last change, right? Of course, they do get out sometimes against other guys after icings, but Noogsy's right. In Melfort, Humboldt won't have that luxury, so all the even strength goals are by the top line in Melfort, and they're going to have to try and find one more gear. And then the goalies. I mean, the goalies are the story of this series, too. James Venn and Ben Motu have been absolutely sensational. Both are over like a 930 save percentage in this series. I only have Motu's numbers, though. He's now started 19 straight games and 27 of the last 28 games for Humboldt. And I'm willing to guess that Venn is very, very similar to that number. Obviously, all 11 playoff games have been Venn. He played a lot during down the regular season stretch. So these two are absolute warriors. And that's my X factor. Which goalie can just stop? You don't have to make, you know, 10 highlight reel saves. Just don't let in a weak one, right? I know it's been a lot of hockey. Don't let in a weak goal. And, you know, hopefully that's going to catalyst. That's going to drive a victory in game seven.
So Nugzi, we'll kind of get closer to the end here. We'll wrap this up here. Give me your final word on game seven. What do you think needs to happen for each team?
Oh man, it's a tough question, because I think there's just have been spells where one coaching staff is thrilled and one's not, and vice versa. So, you know, it's really hard to say. The easiest thing to say every game seven is score that first goal, right? But that hasn't helped, hasn't mattered at all. So what do you say at this point? You know, what it comes down to is the stare down between James Venn and Ben Motu. Rory, you said it best. Those guys carry the water for these teams, like few other teams we've seen over the years. You know, it's just remarkable kind of what they're doing. You know, I think about like a Race Ramsey kind of thing, sticking with Humboldt, a guy that just plays every single night and does it well. You know, those two guys for their organizations have done that. So it's that the last guy who's going to blink between those two. They're not going to allow easy goals. But really, that's the matchup that I'm watching. It's not the first goal. You know, both teams have done very, very nice jobs on the penalty kill. Special teams, I think, has been a very, very low factor, you know, in this game, in this series. So it's just which goalie is going to blink, and it's really flip a coin. That's all I got to say.
Totally fair. Rory, any last words for game seven before you have to buckle up for another broadcast and see how long it goes?
Well, if we get the quadruple overtime, I think it'll be the first series ever that has the cycle, which will be pretty cool. But yeah. I don't know if I have that left in the gas tank for tomorrow night.
Might have to have an overtime intermission now.
I'll sub in for you if you need, Rory.
I hope to see you both up there. I don't know if you both are making it, but it's going to be a great experience. And it really comes down to Nugsy hit the goaltenders. It's also the will to want it more, right? It's been so much hockey between these two teams. You're going to find out who wants it more tomorrow for game seven.
All right. Well, everybody get to Melfort for game seven. It's going to be a blast. If you can't, make sure you tune in on Flow Hockey and check it out there. And we'll have the breakdown for you as well as the preview of the final matchup, whatever that may be, on Wednesday on SJHL Weekly's Canterra Seeds Cup Finals preview. I don't think we've officially named it, but I think I did. So there we go. Have fun. Enjoy the game, everyone. And we'll see you on Wednesday for the recap and the breakdown of the final.
Have a fun call, Rory.
Thanks, pal.